Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey.
Welcome, episode 44, Fashion Hags in the house.
Wee, wee, wee.
Right? That's what you... Did you ever have... You had a brother growing up.
I did.
Were they always better at, like, they could just naturally make sound, like, explosion sounds and gun sounds?
No, he sucked.
Oh, he did? Okay, yeah, good. That's reassuring. Because every other, like, guy friend that I knew growing up could just automatically have that skill set.
He used to work for United Nations, right? He's a very peacekeeping...
Yes, my brother's a peacekeeping.
He's a gentle person.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
He wouldn't be... couldn't be bothered.
No.
That sort of thing. He was too busy playing...
It wasn't in his nature.
Magic the Gathering. Sorry, Alex.
They don't have explosions in Magic the Gathering?
Unless they're magical explosions. He tried to get me to play with him once, and I was just, after 20 minutes, I was like, and no.
And I'm going to get high.
That's a hard no.
Thank you for the invitation. Yeah. I will decline.
Now I know what you're up to when you're playing Magic and talking about Magic all the time. Anyway, we have a guest today. We have an extra person.
Hello.
That's her.
Hello.
That's
Abby.
Not Magic.
Are you? How do you pronounce your last name? Track?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
With Tratch?
Nope.
Track.
Yeah, Track. It's Ukrainian.
I was going to say you're German or some...
Ukrainian.
There you go, Ukrainian.
Yep.
There you go. I'm Ukrainian only by name.
Oh, okay.
Only by marriage.
No, I'm somewhere on my dad's side.
There you
Ukrainian.
There's some genetics happening there.
Pierogies and dill and borscht.
There you go.
Delish.
Sounds wonderful.
All good food.
Sounds wonderful. Well, she's visiting in town, and it just happened to work out that, like, literally the one day we could record with all of us also worked for her. Mm-hmm. This is super exciting. We will save her topic for later. It's going to be great, guys. It's going to be great.
Fingers crossed. Don't set the bar so high.
Maybe this episode doesn't get released. We'll see. Oh, there was a problem with the recording.
It just got deleted.
It's all Dave's fault. Dave,
come
learn on. Learn how to use a computer, Dave.
like we would even be here at all without Dave.
Help computer. Oh. Before that, we can catch up. Evan Ducharme. What's up?
You've been real busy.
I'm a shell of a human being.
Oh.
Although I'm very happy, I have two interns.
Yay!
And I've only worked with one so far, but she's very competent and she's very nice. And
are they cutting and seam ripping?
They're cutting and they're doing hooks and eyes and they're cutting threads and they're.
They do my cutting.
They do the cutting.
My hooks and eyes,
they do it all.
They do my.
They cut my eyes.
Yeah.
Put in my hooks.
Oh no! That's not what I meant.
Yeah. So we're just trucking along on that. That old.
Your
thing.
Show's in two weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks tomorrow.
Dun dun dun.
Then when this comes out, it'll be not 2 weeks.
No, it'll be two days.
Under. It will be very soon.
It'll be seven. No. 10 days. 9 days. Ish.
Math.
Yes.
Whatever.
Math is hard.
It's the 28th.
We work in fashion, so.
We're not math.
If I don't have a ruler or a measuring tape with me. Then
or it doesn't have a dollar sign in front of it.
Exactly.
I don't know what the fuck.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, I went to art school. I can't do math that fast. When I worked retail, people would be like, you can't do the change of whatever, whatever. And I'm like, no.
No, because the computer tells me what
why
to do.
I have a machine. Yeah.
When people would try and give me different change after I'd already put it in, I'm like, I'm sorry, it's going to mess up the total at the end of the night. I can't accept that.
That's what it was.
You're going to need to take $5 in coins.
And I was
just so like stony-faced and like bitch that they just wanted to be away from me. And they never
They're like, that guy is fucked.
Yeah.
That guy does not know how to do his job.
Well, most of the time I didn't, let's be perfectly honest. That's a miracle. Amazing. I made money working in retail for so long.
There you go. You managed to stick
it
out.
I've said it before.
Never again.
Yeah. But, yeah. And I'm just trying to
keep things off your list.
My head above water.
Yeah.
Getting attached to my checklist very thoroughly. And
for the homeless, he just literally picked up
a pen and checked things off in the air.
Is it to the minute yet? Your checklist of like
10:05.
to 10:10. Do
and
this.
10 minutes to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shove some food in your face.
I've like prepped all of my meals for the week.
Oh, that's good. So you just,
wow,
just like,
I'm impressed.
Heat it up.
What awesome. Are they? Just they're... bags of nuts and Wonder Bars?
Like Cliff Bars?
He's moving up in the world.
So that's basically those two things put together.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so called being it's efficient, good. Katie.
I mean, a Cliff Bar is like my breakfast before I run to Dresso.
Yes.
And then come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just really trying to keep it all together.
Yeah, stay ahead of it. Mm.
My brother's like mess texting me, asking me all these questions and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like,
dude.
No, don't talk to me. Don't give me anxiety attack. I'm like, I'm really just like trying to keep it together.
Keep swimming.
Keep on swimming.
Yep. Awesome. Good. I'm excited for the show.
And I'm happy you have interns.
Like, oh, yeah.
Too. That's great.
Yeah.
Definitely. Good old interns. Where would fashion be without interns?
I know. Be fucked.
Super fucked. Oh, Katie, what's going on with you?
Well, this week has been a lot at work. Yeah. I've had a lot going on.
A lot going on.
We had a photo shoot. We had an e-com shoot on Tuesday, which was super fun. I was so glad to see it like all come together and like
considering
all
it was
prep.
Like a boring like girl in front of a white background, front, side, back. Like,
yeah, pretty clinical kind of shoot. It's not like a fun editorial. You're not on a crazy location. It's like, no, these have to look nice because they have to be able to see the product clearly so that people will want to buy it. That's the point.
Like catalog.
Yeah.
Website.
Mm. Yeah. But it all came together really well and it was super fun. Our model is awesome. Our photographer was awesome. It was great. It was like,
that's
when it was
over.
Done. Yeah. And so that was Tuesday. And then on Thursday, we moved to our office. Just had to get a
bit. There you go.
Just had that happen at the same time as the other
thing.
2 days
later. Yep, that's fine.
So that happened today. And now that is done. I'm very, very relieved. So after I left the office today, Abby and I, we were moving together. And then I was like, well, we got a bit of time that, you know, the movers were half an hour early. And so they were
earlier. Yeah, there was way less complicated. And there wasn't a lot to do. And we got settled in and put everything away and flattened all the boxes. And they're like,
I guess we're done. That was
okay.
That was easy. I guess when you're prepared, it goes really smoothly.
Who knew?
So I was like, well, what are you doing right now? You're like, well, I don't know. I got time. I'm like, let's go get a beer right now. So we went at like 2 o'clock for a beer.
There's a brewery right down the street.
It was the best. Yeah, you could basically throw a rock from our front door and hit a brewery. It was pretty nice.
It was pretty nice.
So we did that. And then after that, I need to get a red dress for your event because I don't have one. Red is not in season or last season, turns out. There are no red dresses.
That's surprising.
That's not true.
Red is technically like a fall color, isn't it?
I know.
But it's also like a color that's always around.
Yeah.
I know.
Like a summer color too.
I know. I went to like
Zara. It surprises me that you don't own a red dress.
I did for the longest time. Then I was like, I never wear this. I know.
Sure. So you look, yeah.
This is why people hoard clothing where you're like, I never wear this, but you never know.
Yeah.
And then you give it away. And then a month later, you're like, fuck, where did that goddamn tiger fucking skirt go?
Yeah.
I have not worn it in 5 years. And I really needed it yesterday.
I know.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
But to be fair, the dress that I had was like more like a corally pinkish red. Like it wasn't like a true red. It wasn't, it wouldn't have met my criteria as red, I think. So
there's that.
Anyway, and also probably wouldn't have fit me anymore.
Also that.
My clothes shrunk over the winter. But anyway, so that was my challenge. And I went to like maybe 10 stores and I was like, fuck this. I'm going home to have a shower and eat a food. And then I have to go to Abby's for this. So
that's some bullshit right there.
I know. But I might just make one. I might just go see if I can find a nice something and make something real simple. But we'll see. But yeah, no red. It's the kind of color where you're like, oh, there's red all the time. And then you start and you're like, where's all the red?
Wait a minute.
Why is there
Why is everything yellow?
Like I even went to like the Ralph Lauren section of
the Bay or whatever
to see if they had any good stuff on sale and stuff. And like, that's where you're going to find the red.
Yeah.
That or Tommy Hilfiger. And I'm not buying Tommy Hilfiger.
Maybe not. Yeah, I'd be happier to give my money to Ralph Lauren than Tommy Hilfiger. But
no, nothing. I was like, fuck. But well, I still 2 weeks to figure it out.
That's discouraging.
I know. Oh, well. I was glad to get home and take all my clothes off and have a hot shower.
There you go.
And not have to think about moving anymore.
Yes. Although I wish it was Friday, but there you go. That's it.
Oh, what do you do?
What do you do?
And you?
I kind of had the opposite problem of, well, I guess it's not a problem per se, where you were looking for something and you had money theoretically to spend and you couldn't find it.
Yeah, theoretically. I had a need to spend money.
Yeah. I did some retail therapy myself. My husband was out of town last weekend and kids were fine. Two kids on my own. It's okay. We figured it out. Friends helped out with meals, whatever, got activities. It was great. Bedtimes were fine because that's the worst. It's like when you got two fucking kids and one bedtime and you got to wrangle them both. Mm. It's the worst. That's Dave doing it right now. Thanks, Dave. But it was fine. But then it just so happened, like, the day that Dave got home, I was reaching my maximum. My mother's like, oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Mom limit
tapped. Oh, boy.
There's no more fucks in your pocket?
No. And in fact, I've gone past no fucks given to, like, oh, I'm pissed. Oh, no. Like, I'm reaching, like, anger level of, like, almost rage at this point. Past apathy into rage. So my husband got home after being away, and it was great, and the kids are happy to see him, and he got a present for Margo, and it was great. And then, like, within half an hour of him being home, I just gave him the baby, and I'm like, I am leaving. I'm not going to be here anymore.
I love you, bye. Always,
if I had kids, I'd be like, you just take it now.
I'm just going to come back later. So I...
Like, when?
I'm like, I don't know. I'll let you know. I'll have my phone on me. It's fine. I'm not leaving the city limits. How about that? It's a big city.
I'm not leaving the province. Okay, yeah. Don't worry about it.
I didn't bring my passport. It's fine.
Yeah.
And he asked me where I was going. I said, I didn't know. Not here.
When will you be back? I don't know.
Before dinner?
I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe I'll bring home dinner. Maybe I won't. And then I was like, I'm just going to go get a coffee and then I'll decide. And I was like, well, where the fuck am I going to go now? I'm like, I got some podcasts to listen to. I could just drive around for a couple hours. That's fine, too. I don't mind that. But I was like, well, I could go shopping. Where could I go shopping? So there's a store downtown, and I'm never downtown. And I've been following the store for like 2 years on Instagram, and I've never been in the store. And I finally went, and it's like a luxury brand reseller, like consignment, but like high-end stuff. So,
what's
some
it called?
Mine and Yours is what it's called. And granted, there are like, you know, $2,000 Chanel bags that are originally $6,000, but they're only $2,000.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, you're getting a pretty good deal, all things considered. That wasn't what I was going there to buy. I went in looking for a top for tops because I need some tops and I need a new pair of flats. It's like, okay, what can I find? Or maybe just a cute pair of like platform sandals or something I could find was the other thing I was looking for. So I gave myself specific criteria and I went in. And I got all excited about these, like, these Gucci pumps. Oh, man.
Yeah.
They were so pointy and so tall and so unwearable. Physically unwearable and also just not conducive to my lifestyle at the moment. So I put them on and prayed around a little bit and then put my Birkenstocks back on. And then I did find a pair of little Balenciaga flats, which I'm very excited about. And they were, like, $75.
Ooh.
Hi. Delish.
So I got put those in my bag. And then as I was driving home, there's a great shoe store here in Canada called Gravity Pope that sells a whole bunch of really big brands like Birkenstocks and Doc Martin and Clark and stuff like that. But they also send a bunch of like fashion brands and like edgy fashion stuff. And I love their store. But again, this is like a super expensive store, but they have an outlet. And I was driving by and I was like, urch!
I've never hit up that outlet.
I've never been to their sales before. And I found the cutest platform sandals that I'd been eyeballing a Birkenstock pair. I'd been eyeballing a Teva pair. I don't know if I can pull the trigger on a Teva. I'm not a Teva girl.
Oh, I would pull that trigger so fast.
I could see you and wear them. But I was like,
I've actually held them in my hands.
Yeah, the platform ones that are like, I don't know, about an inch and a half tall, maybe 2 inches tall. Like they're like fashion Tevas.
I was going to say, I was like,
which
I
on the one
wearing
hand,
Teva's camping. And I'm just like,
how does this work? They look exactly like that, but they're just the sole is way thicker.
Oh my God, I think I've seen them, except someone had them in like white, and I was like, those look
what are those?
Cute.
Those are like what? Chic.
I get those when I was like 9 years old.
Yeah, I get those ones.
Camping child.
Yeah. So, and there was a pair of Birkenstocks too, but they're way expensive. And then I found this Fly London. I've seen their shoes before, and they're a little bit weird. They're a little bit architectural. I found a lovely pair, and they're so comfortable, and they're just, like, chic. So I did some rage shopping. That's what I did. It was my retail therapy. Normally, like, you're sad and you do retail therapy. Now I was just, like, pissed.
You're like, not today shopping.
I need something nice right now.
Balenciaga.
But also, like, I have a weird, like, postpartum body, and I'm still figuring out, like, I just had a baby, and, like, I'm a different size, and my body's all weird, and it's summer, and I'm like, I don't want to, like, shop for clothes, but shoes. I can shop for shoes.
Yeah.
Always. Shoes fit. Shoes always. And purses.
I just imagine every conversation ending, someone's like, how are you doing? You'd be like, oh, I need to talk to a manager now! Do you have these in a 7.5? And they're just like, back away.
Like, calm down.
On the headset, like, so there's a woman in the corner. Don't approach her. Do not approach her. I'm dealing with it.
I just pointed to the racks of sevens and walked away.
Just keep bringing her sevens. Something will fit.
Oh, man. That was me.
That's good.
And now we can move on to our guest. So you're in town.
Yeah.
You don't live here.
Nope.
But you're in town.
Yeah.
Your sister lives here, yeah?
Yes, my sister lives here. She's been here 10 years now. Coming up on 10 years, I think. I think I was, I don't know, late teens when she moved out here. I helped with the move. It was an experience. So yeah, I'm visiting from Toronto for the folk festival mostly, here with my boyfriend. He has never been here, so it's kind of fun. I don't know how to get around the city, but I'm like, there's the mountains. There's the ocean.
There's some trees over there.
Stanley Park. There's a road. I don't know. But yeah, he's never been here. So it's fun to like have this trip. This was like our first big trip together / my graduation present to myself.
Nice.
Yeah, because this time last year was a shit show. So it's just like, having a vacation, especially because I just worked 6 days straight before my vacation.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yep. So it's just like,
I am out of here.
Basically.
Oh, that's exciting. What was it about the folk festival that brought you? Just because it was
Wanted to go. He's been to the Winnipeg Folk Festival. And when we were discussing trips. Yeah, he loved it there. And we were discussing
trips.
It's a
great festival.
Yeah. And so he was like, oh, Winnipeg Folk Festival. And he was like, also, Vancouver has a folk festival. I was like, we're going to Vancouver. We're doing a fucking giant trip.
Yes.
We're going.
Why am I going to fucking Winnipeg?
I know. I was like.
Absolutely not going to Winnipeg.
Ticks in 40 degrees. No, thank you. No.
I was say, no offense to Winnipeg, because we have a Winnipeg adjacent boy here.
Yeah.
But even he wouldn't go to fucking Winnipeg.
No. Yeah. I like.
I go and my parents are going to pay for it.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
So he was talking about that one. I was like, no, we're going to Vancouver. And also, like, selfishly, because my sister lives here, I get to see her, like, maybe twice a year.
Yeah,
that'd be nice. I was like, let's go see my sister. Also, she's finishing her PhD right now, so who knows where she'll be in, like, a year.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, excuse to visit an ocean.
Now's our time. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep, pretty much. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Awesome. And you literally flew in.
I was going to say, you've been here not even 24 hours. Yeah. So, and you've already had sushi, so this is great.
Yeah, pretty much.
you're right on track. Yeah.
You're
everything right.
Checking off my own checklist.
Yeah.
Doing a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Well, we should jump into
why my lady's here with us. other than just being a super lovely person so far.
Oh, thank you.
So
she's still
far.
All goes sideways, guys. We only just met her. So
we have corresponded.
That's true. That is true. Was it October-ish? Sometime
in the fall, I think.
In the not too distant past, Evan had an obsession, and it was about Warren stories, the book Warren Stories. And we asked you guys to send in your stories. And I think the first one, certainly one of the best ones that we got, was yours.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm not the only one. Because you only read my story, and I was like, oh God.
This is awesome.
This woman lives in a bunker.
Yeah. No, we read yours. It was so good. And it had a local connection, so it seems
fit.
Seemed just about right.
Yeah.
And you mentioned in your email, or we said or thanks
somehow,
for sending in,
yeah.
Or anyway, throughout this whole conversation, you mentioned that you were in Toronto, I think at Ryerson,
yep.
Doing your master's in we were trying to figure out, I mean, you'll have to answer this question. Okay. What specifically
we
it was.
We could just talk about it like she's not here and just try to figure out some like idiots.
We're like, what was it?
Dear yeah. internet.
Yeah.
What program?
But we were like, tell us everything. If we're ever in town, we'd love to have on the podcast.
Happy to
and pick
lend
your brain. Yeah. So tell us what you were saying.
So yeah, should I like disclaimer this of like, I have no like representation affiliation with the school, but
sure.
like,
gotcha.
This is all my own shit. I just don't want my program.
Honey, they took your money. You can say whatever the hell you want about
that. True. Oh, I just want my director to be like, so you said some stuff. Sorry. Yeah. So I did my master's in fashion at Ryerson. This year will be their, I think I was like the sixth or seventh graduating class. So like, Young
new,
year,
yeah,
very new program, to the point that I'll be like, I'm in fashion. People will be like, so you make clothes? And I'm like, no. Like, I have that hobby skill, if you can call it. I have the hobby of sewing and everything, but like, nope, that's not what I do. That's also what I got when in my undergrad, I'd be like, yeah, I do photo and textiles. And people were like, so you make clothes? And I was like, no. I make the fabric? So I did my master's in fashion at Ryerson. As I previously mentioned, just graduated. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
That is no small feat.
I like watching my sister do like 10 years of grad school. I'm just like, what? And the joke, my friends were like, congratulations, PhD. And I'm like, fuck no. No, bye. I want to live my life. There's like nothing wrong with going into academia and loving it and all that. But just like put my toe back in. And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Real world, here I come.
Yeah. Pretty much. And now I'm just like, currently have a job, but now I'm on like the path of like, what do I want
now to what?
Do?
Now
yeah. What? And like, your episode with Lindy was really useful for me where she was like, slow down, calm down, just because you're out of school.
Yeah.
Not getting your dream job right away. And I'm like, right.
Yeah.
Literally just graduated.
Don't stress. Don't stress. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. So like.
Oh, that's good. That was timely then for you.
Yeah, it was. It was like, because it was just like a month or so ago. So like around graduation, I was like, okay, it's going to be okay.
You had an aha moment.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Well, the reason I think the connection was with the Warren stories was you had this great story about the specifics of your program and on your specific master's program. Because as far as I know, at the master's program, you can kind of tailor it to your own. Like the point is that you tailor it to your own interests and your own kind of
connections
vision.
Or whatever. Yeah.
And so yours was so fascinating. And so I'm not going to say the words for you.
Okay.
I want to hear how you describe it because I was like, tell me everything when you sent us an email. Because like Abby and I both, you know, came like had already done a full undergrad degree before going back to school.
Okay.
So we like the
Totally unrelated.
And so the life of academia is familiar and like I have quite a soft spot in my heart for it.
Yeah.
And if it was feasable or reasonable.
We were talking about
at
it
the
today.
Moment. Yeah. I would love to go back and do a similar kind of program.
Yeah. So
tell us.
It was pretty much like perfect what I wanted. So my program, what I think it is fairly unique in that you do just kind of say like, I just want to look at this. But I also say that having watched my sister do her like master's and her PhD in child psychology. And my understanding is most people you like say like, this is kind of what I like working with. And then you kind of link up with another higher academic person and you kind of like help out with their research and then like build out from there.
Right. Uh-huh.
Whereas mine was like, this is what I want to do. And then they put me with a person.
Okay.
My supervisor. And so I, in my undergrad, I did a Bachelor of Fine Arts, a BFA, with a major in photo and a minor in textiles. And in my like final year or so, I was like, I kept coming back to this project throughout my program where I was like documenting closets. And I couldn't quite understand why I was doing it, but I was like, yeah, let's just like photograph closets and see what that's about. And then finally, after like the third iteration of the project, excuse me, that's how art happens sometimes where you're like, I just keep making
it
the
just
same
coming
thing.
Back.
Until you finally like sit down, you're like, oh, that's why. And so I came back to it and I was like, oh, I'm really interested in what wardrobes and closets and clothing says about people non-verbally. And so I hit this point where I did my like quote unquote closet series where it was like, what are these closets at like without the person in the image frame saying about the person, whether they're like gender, socioeconomic background, work, like what is it saying about this person, or like what are you reading from their clothing? And so that was kind of my like, and then I like finished my undergrad, did a bunch of other work.
Oh, so that was still part of your BFA?
That was my BFA. That was just like a project I kept coming back to my BFA.
Oh, cool.
And when I like, I was out in Halifax doing that, and then I finally moved back home to Ontario. And when I was like bumming around my mom's house being like, this is a miserable suburban hell. What am I doing?
I'm trapped.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I was like, how do I get out of my hometown? Because I've counted, there are 4 like intersection lights. That's how small my town is.
I have 2.
What? Yeah. I think I said to my mom, I was like, yeah, there's 5. And she was like, where's the 5th one? I know, you just sit there for a minute and you're like, what? Like looking at the like aerial map of your town, you're like, one, two. Oh, yeah,
there is something.
Fun. Anyway, so when I was like figuring out my next move at that time, I was like, what do I want to do? And I was like, let's try grad school. So I was looking into programs. I looked at Concordia and then the program at Ryerson. And Concordia was a Master of Fine Arts, which is an MFA. I have a Master of Arts. Master's of Art? I don't know. I have a fancy degree.
You'll know what it is. You'll get the diploma in the mail. You'll figure it out.
Oh, it's like sitting in a bag that needs to be framed.
I never got around to framing either of my anything.
No. Well, I finally framed my bachelor's degree like a year ago, and I posted on my Instagram, and all my friends were like, nope, mine's still in a cupboard somewhere. you're all one step ahead of us.
There you go.
Show off.
I feel like it's only like doctors and like dentists who frame their degrees.
Yeah.
It's like, this is to make you feel better.
Yeah. When you have an office, we have a legit office.
We put a needle in you or like poking around in your mouth.
And they're like, do you know what you're talking about? And it's like, look at all my fancy papers.
I wanted to frame mine and put it in my bathroom. So I can be like, you guys, accolades, look at them.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's gonna be in there, so like,
right, everyone's got a little bit of time to look around when they're in
when
a bathroom.
They're in there, look up from your phone for 2 seconds.
Check out how great I am, you guys.
So when I was looking at programs, I was looking at the MFA at Concordia for their photo specific, and then I was looking at Ryerson. And I think I applied to another school. I don't remember. That was a shit show of a process of like portfolios and this and that and paperwork, whatever. A lot of Photoshop document and editing. And then...
So I have a question. Sorry, I'm going to interrupt you really quick.
Definitely.
So the pictures that you did for your...
bachelor.
Your bachelor of the closets. And are they... Is it a photo like of every item in a person's closet?
No,
or is it like... you
in its natural state.
Excellent question. So it is... excuse me. It is like a photo. I'm in their home space, so like in their bedroom, and it's just like the closet, the physical closet, whether it's like a wardrobe or like a recessed closet, and the doors open or what have you, so you can see all the clothing. So imagine you like walk into your room and you like open the doors. That's what I photograph.
Got it. Cool.
So it's like if you have like scarves or shoes or whatever, like all over the place.
Yeah, that's how organized or unorganized or
basically,
whatever.
I might be able to show you guys some photos later. But so that's what it was. Excellent question. I've been looking at this forever, so I'm just like,
sure,
you'll know what this is. and so
yeah, and all of our listeners are like, what the hell are they talking about? No frame of reference.
So close your eyes. Yeah. Imagine. Anyway,
let's paint a picture here on podcast land. Yeah.
And so on the advisement of one of my faculty from my undergrad, who was also a reference for me, she was, as a joke, she sent me an email. She was like, except the ones who give you the most money. Winky face. Like typed out wink emoticon. And
that's
I took
good advice.
Her advice.
Yeah.
Also, good. This program definitely was like well suited to what I wanted to do. For your first year of your program, you're learning about other stuff and you're kind of like percolating. By like Christmas of your first year, it's like you're writing your like practice proposal. There's a lot of weird acronyms. So I didn't do like a proper thesis, which is research, 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 write, write, and then you defend to a panel.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is called a master's research project or an MRP. And so instead of defending at the end, you just had like 2 days where you have your like the second year presentations. And it's kind of like a conference presentation.
Okay.
Where you're like put all,
this is my stuff.
Yeah, like put together a slideshow, give us like the basic points, talk about it for like 20 minutes or like 15 minutes, and then Q&A for 5 to 10 minutes, and then like boom, you're done.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think that's what my sister has, did her master's. Mm. And I think that's, she didn't do it, I think she did a research.
Yeah.
What did you say? The MR?
MRP.
MRP, I think that's what she did. Shall I correct me if I'm wrong? Sorry if I'm wrong.
So yeah, like last year I was writing like my MRP proposal, so your MRPP, and then there was like... There was, like, your MRP, like, I don't know what it was, but there was, like, a million P's happening at some top light, and everyone's just like, you know what they mean.
You know the thing.
That thing due in 2 weeks. So, yeah, and then, so you're, like, making it, you're direct self-directing with the help of your supervisor, who you get assigned winter term of your first year. That's how it happened in my program.
So is it a two-year program?
Yep, two-year program, 5 consecutive semesters. So you're like writing through the summer.
Right.
Which is why this vacation was so needed, because
very important.
As I said, this time last year, I was working part-time, interning, and writing my proposal.
Oh, fun.
To the point that I was working up at Yorkdale, which is a mall up in like North York-ish in Toronto. It's like the bougie mall. And so I was working there, and on my sister's advice, I was like, I'm trying to work from home and it's not working. Like, I'm getting too distracted. She was like, can you go to like a coffee shop before work? And I want to be like, fuck no, I work at a mall. But so it's like, it's not like in this area where you're like, oh, and there's like a Starbucks down the street, and then I can like walk to my office and like go back to work and whatever. It's like, no. But then I started like writing my paper in the food court before my shift.
Hey, it works.
So I was just like hauling tote bags of like articles. To work.
To be honest, a food court is not that different than a student's union building anyway.
It really isn't. I'd really be there at like 10 in the morning and like get a coffee and sit down. Everyone's like, the fuck is this girl doing? And I was like highlighting and like writing notes. It was like beautiful minding, or I don't know.
We get a shit done, bitch.
Basically. But yeah, I was like, yeah,
just snapping like, your fingers like, hey, New York fries, another round.
Yeah.
They're like, what?
Oh, I want New York fries now.
Yep.
That sounds pretty good. And so self-directed. And so I went through a couple different topics, but I landed on senior women and how they really like how they use their clothing for like their identity, and how that relationship with their clothing has changed over time, and how clothing is linked to memory. Because of the structure of the program was it's like, you can either like write a research paper and just research it, and that's what you do, or, and this is what drew me to the program, was you can do a creative project, and then you have like a slightly shorter support paper, was what it's called. Mine was still like a 30-page document, which was the minimum.
Pooyoyoy. Yeah, which is better than a 75-page document.
I think
whatever it is.
Yeah, they were. It was for a creative. It was 30 to 40, and then I think research was 40 to 60.
Oof.
But I still was just like, this is the longest document I've written in my life.
Yeah.
So that was a process. And so that was the big draw to the program for me, was that I got to do a creative with a support paper rather than just researching, or I have no idea what the other programs were like Concordia or other places.
Right, yeah.
But this just like, I was like, I already kind of understand what I want to do with photography in that sense. But the one thing that I was like, oh, this is what is really interesting to me right now, was fashion theory. And so I had like previously been like reading all this fashion theory of like including Warren stories. So when you were like, send us your Warren stories, I was like, hello.
That's me.
And so a bunch of other books. I think I sent you this like laundry list.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yes. Okay. I just was like nerding out so hard, because I think if it was in October, this was like me going into my final year. And I was like, I have all this knowledge. Let me talk to someone else about it.
Someone else
is interested in this. Yeah. Pretty much I was like, you want to talk about it too? And you're not this like my cohort. Let's do this. and so
I think the three of us anyways, and probably everyone who's listening as well, would be on the same page with you.
Yeah. So yeah, I was reading,
especially anyone who's ever done like an undergrad or any kind of like
significant academic
of any kind, like even a fashion diploma program, like we did, like to be in it. And like, I remember being in fashion school and like trying to talk to my boyfriend about like, oh, this and that, and like this hemline and the grain line and this.
And the eyes glaze over and the
history. And he's like,
yes, dear.
Very supportive, but like,
still,
we're not going to have the same.
Oh, yeah. Speaking a different language.
Oh, yeah. So many times. I'm pretty sure my, over the past like year, because I've been with my boyfriend, we started seeing each other. I was already in school. So he just like, entered into the beastie. Like, yeah. It was like, you're either in or you're out. But repeatedly, he would like take me by the shoulders and be like, Gabby, I don't care. And I was like, I know.
Valid point. Valid point.
I know. I can't help it.
Yeah, it was just like,
I'm just so passionate.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, this is literally all I do. Yes,
this is my brain all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
So, yeah, so I decided what I ended up doing was, wardrobe interviews, which was like created, quote unquote created, by a research, an academic, Sophie Woodward. And so she's like, she has a whole book on it. I read a couple chapters of it and,
where an honest student, I read a bunch
of it. A little bit of it.
Read some of it, skimmed most of it.
I got to pretend to my interest, and then I moved.
That's
on.
Pretty much. That's what your profs are like. They're like,
you can't read everything.
Reading an article,
no.
You don't read the whole thing. You read the abstract, first paragraph, last paragraph, and you like skim the middle. And I was like, what? You can do that?
Yeah, I got to fourth year of university before I was like, oh, I can't read all of this. And they're like, man, don't.
I didn't know.
That's me. Except I learned that in my master's, basically, because in undergrad, it was like primarily studio. And so like one of my friends in my program, her background is in English. And I was like, I don't know how to use a semicolon. And she was like, what? I was like, I don't. I just went to art school. We don't have to know that shit in art school.
I did an English degree. I know exactly how to use a semicolon.
Yeah.
In fact, I got out of skipping class to go see a hockey game because I bumped into my professor on my way like out of class. It was like a night class. It was a 3-hour night class. So we had like a 20-minute break in the middle.
Yeah.
And I was just like packing up my stuff to go and meet my friend at the hockey game. And I bumped into my professor on the way out. The best
Busted.
Professor I had. I had like the coolest professor ever. Ted Bishop. Check out The History of Ink, his book that he wrote. It's very cool. Anyway, I bumped into him and I was like, He's like, where are you going? I was like,
hockey game.
I got to be on it. Like, my roommate has tickets to the hockey game. I'm just going to skip out. I like, is there anything that I'm going to miss? And he's like, you can't leave now. We're going to talk about semicolons. And I was like,
dude, Ted, I got it.
I got semicolons. 2 independent clauses. No problem. He's like, oh, actually,
that's
you're
it.
Good to go. Enjoy the game. I was like, yeah. This is the best. one of my favorite stories of being in
undergrad. Oh, that's
undergrad.
Great.
Like, semicolons, I got them dialed. 2 independent clauses. No problem. Now you know.
Oh, God, I still had to, like, learn how to do it. And I'm like, nope.
I'm going to remember this for right now, and then tomorrow it's going to be gone.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, when I'm, like, writing papers and, like, proposals and stuff for projects, I'm like, I think this works.
That's why there's editing. That's why you get somebody else.
That's why you make friends with someone who's in English, and they edit it for you.
My friend who, hello, Michelle, she did her Bachelor of Journalism, and I'm like, can I send you my, she edited, like,
your eyeballs.
My entire thesis.
I wrote an email. Can you read it for me real quick when you get a second?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty sure she'd murder me if I did that, but I was like, so this like paper that my last 2 years of my life have been culminating to, can
like,
you
super
prove
important
that?
And like my whole thing is like basing like the success of this, but
the thing is like
can you read it over?
I returned the favors because just like earlier this week she messaged me and was like, hey, I have like, I'm like purging my closet. Want to go to Value Village with me after and like help me pick clothes? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
This is like, why.
We have nothing but time for that.
These are real life skills.
I was like coaching her via text. She's like, how do I empty my closet? And I was like, girl, here's the thing. Like I, for one of my classes, I did a sustainability in design, fashion and design class this fall. And so it was all about like eco things and H&M. Are they really that eco-conscious? Blah, blah, blah. Like beautiful, amazing, like
fascinating
class.
Stuff.
So my pilot project, my final, was I tried to, like, figure out, I basically end up making this, like, flowchart of like how to clear out your closet and revamp your closet in an eco way. Oh, I will show it to you.
I was going
to
say, can we share that with people?
Yes.
Holy shit.
I will show you the flowchart. And so she was like, how do I like know whether to get rid of stuff? And I was like, boom, flowchart.
Yeah. You're like, here.
Amazing. I got this chart.
Just folded out. Just like texted it to her. And she was like, thanks. I was like, bye.
Peace.
Like, that only took me 6 weeks to put together. You're welcome.
Pretty much, it was like, this is only like the homework, but I like did it myself. It was also just like tasking myself. I was like, well, I want to go through my closet anyway and like update some stuff and like alter some stuff. Can I make this a project?
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah.
That's such genius.
And so, thank you. And so,
what did you have about red dresses? Because I fucking got rid of one and
It probably would have, let me see if I can find this thing. Basically, it's this like ring-eating flowchart I made in like Photoshop or something when I had a free version of that. And
oh, no, the free
good old student free version of Adobe.
And so, oh yeah, here it is. So, this is the flowchart I made.
Oh my god, love.
Genius! This is so great. It's got a bunch of purple bubbles. It's great.
Yeah, if you are cool with
definitely. And so, the first question is: have I worn this in the past 6 months? If it's no, it's gone.
Yeah.
Although I made some caveats for myself, where I was like, but it's real cute, or like it's fancy, or like I could use it for a photo shoot.
There's always ways to round up.
There's always ways to round up, which is dangerous.
Always ways.
But back to school and everything. So my MRP. So wardrobe interviews. Decided to look at senior women because they are an untapped demographic. Underrepresented demographic. Except while I was working on this project, I don't know if this is true or it might just be one of those things of like, you're looking at it so long that you just keep noticing it everywhere. Like, after my first tattoo, I was like, there are tattoos everywhere in the world.
Or like, you buy a new car and then you start seeing that car everywhere.
Yeah, you're like, that's a new car. You're like that. So anyway, so I don't know if it was like one or what was happening, but I started noticing a lot more articles of like senior women modeling and like women with gray hair.
That
and,
advanced like, style thing happened.
Advanced
right,
style. So much advanced style. And I own both those books. I called it research.
They're beautiful.
They're so beautiful.
Did you see the movie?
But I've watched it, I think, about four times. Although I do come for Ari in my paper. Because I was just like,
read her.
I love all these women. Like, I follow a lot of them. Zipporah and Ilona, I follow them on Instagram and everything, and I love it because I aspire. I'm just like, 60 is going to be a good year for me. I'm not even into my 30s yet, and I'm like, 60 will be good.
That's when I'm going to hit my stride.
Totally.
Yeah. But, and so was looking into that. But all these women, like, they're highly, like, they're on the ball with fashion. Even if it's their own kooky, eclectic style, they're like, and I made, it's like, I have a paperclip for an earring, and I have this strange felt piece of felt on my head, and it's a hat, and, like, they just put it together. Whereas, like, my grandmother's 93, and she's like, I wear sneakers, I wear skateboard shoes, and she has this, like, the most eclectic, like, grandma clothing.
Yeah.
Of, like, a grandma who grew up on the farms, and, like, on a farm in, like, the 30s.
Right.
And so I was like, what about those ladies? Yeah. Like, let's talk to those ladies as well as. So in my paper, I fully call out advanced style. I'm like, this is great. But these are, like, affluent, also white ladies, predominantly in New York, who are, like, finger on the pulse of fashion.
Yeah.
So I went out. I, like, put out a call, which is a whole ridiculous process, including involving ethics. And if anyone has dealt with ethics, Godspeed to you. It's a process. To the point that, so in my project, I was like, I need to go to the homes of these people to, like, photograph their closets.
Yeah, you want
to
look at it. Yeah.
And the ethics board was like, no, that's dangerous. We don't like that. Don't do that. And I was like, but I have to.
Really?
Yeah, ethics.
The crux of the thing.
It's a safety concern. I had a couple of friends also do wardrobe interviews or, like, go into people's homes. And ethics kept being like, no, we don't like this. Give us a, like, how are you going to solve this? And both my supervisor and I sat there and we were like,
you'd have to just have someone go with you.
Or? Thank you. That's what I did. I was like, buddy system. I bring a buddy. They bring a buddy. And they're like, that's a confidentiality issue and an anonymity issue. We don't like that either. Like, what you do is you call your supervisor before and after the interview. And I was like, why the fuck didn't you just tell me that the first time?
Check in, check out.
Pretty much.
Oh, that just sounds like they want to make your life difficult for nothing.
Oh, boy. Well, a lot of academia is that.
That just is academia, unfortunately.
It's just people, like, trying to flex on you.
Yeah.
I also got the system. It's not people. It's the whole system.
We don't make the rules, but...
We just need to enforce them.
But we need to follow them.
The thing is, one of the people from the ethics board, and they were like, this is the process, just come talk to us. So, like, they smartly put a face to the ethics board to be like, I'm cool, I'm chill. I'm not just trying to, like, shit on your parade. But you're still just like, what the fucking hell? Like, what? Like, we're just, like, group texting. You're like, what did you do? What's happening here? And so I did end up going into their homes and spoke to these women about their wardrobes and transcribed the interviews. I did 10 total, which everyone was like, really, 10 interviews? And I was like, yes. Like, is that too many?
Is that not enough? Yeah, what's
that? And I was like, that doesn't seem enough. I don't know. I just kind of pulled this number out of nowhere.
Yeah. Sounds good at the time.
So, and my supervisor was just like, this is the most ridiculous thing that, like, how do you keep doing this? Because I would, like, carry, so I have this little camera came with me, and in my camera case, and a tripod, on TTC, like, on Toronto Transit, in, like, March, like, February, March, so it was, like, freezing cold, and he's like, and I'd text him, I'd be like, I'm off to this location, and he's like, what are you, it was, like, sleeting one day, and he's like, what the fuck?
I hope you have a good case for that camera, because that camera is cool as shit.
Thanks, yeah, oh, yeah, it, like, had a little camera case, I had a little carrier case and everything, but still, like, taking, like, a tripod and that and something else, like, on, and my purse on transit, I was like, and he was like, this is absurd. And I was like, I don't know. This is just what I've been doing since my undergrad. Yeah. Like, I'm not carrying a lighting kit, which if anyone's had to haul around a lighting kit,
you're like, I left half of what I actually need back home.
Pretty much.
You need a lot more stuff.
I was like, no one would rent me a kit, so this is what I got. And so I went to these women and I interviewed them, transcribed the interviews, and put together the image series. I think I had like almost 300 images. Wow. Like a photographs, and I had to condense it down to the way what we decided, what myself and my supervisor decided to do for now was to organize the images by person. So I had like, I'm going to be drawing in the air. So sorry, listeners at home, maybe we'll describe it afterwards. So I had like my, I had what, like a 12 by 18, like layout, like piece of paper, file. And then I put in a, all my images were square, so like the largest one on the left-hand side was the photograph of the closet space of these women. And then on the right-hand side, I had four smaller images of what was kind of deemed of like objects that these women had pulled from their closets, whether it was like a sweater, hat, purses, jewelry, whatever, that was kind of typical or like quintessential of their style.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and so I had so many images, like, I ended up organizing them by a bunch of different way of just like, this is a typical thing they would wear. This was something emotional, or this was connected to a memory. Yeah. Or so I had like so many things to do. And I was like, how the fuck
how do I organize this?
Yeah. So that was the easiest way to do it.
You must have got so many stories. Like you must have got so many good stories.
Yeah. It was great. And like,
whatever.
These women just like went forever. Like, especially I kind of expected this, the older women, I was like, they'll probably just love having company in general. Like, if they're anything like my grandmother, it's just like, come over, let's hang out. Yeah. I'm retired.
Yeah.
I like went to these, basically these strangers' homes. So like inviting myself here was a little bit awkward, but I was like, well, I've done it before. I'll do it again.
At least I don't have that tripod.
Basically. So I interviewed these women and put together the images. Yeah, that's what I did. And it was just like a lot of fun talking to these women and kind of learning of like, because a lot of my research was there's a woman, Julia Twigg, who I believe is in the UK, who is like all about, I think she's in sociology specifically. But she like researches senior women in clothing a whole, like that's like her field.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I would do a PhD, I'd be like, Julia, can I work with you, please?
Yeah, can you just follow me around for a bit?
Yeah. So a lot of her research was just like, it covered like everything from like hair and like mobility and like why people are wearing certain clothing and how all these women are like, yeah, it's just like beige boxes are being sold to us and I want to wear fun clothes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, is this actually a thing? And a lot of these women, like what kept coming up from these women that I was speaking to, most of them I think were in their 60s, somewhere in their 70s. And they were just like, I don't want to be wearing a beige box. Like, I would like to wear like fun clothes, but I also don't want to wear dress like I'm 30. But like, how do you navigate this whole thing? And like the idea of age appropriate, quote unquote, age appropriateness came up in, I think, every interview, whether I brought it up or they did. And one woman, she was so animated and lovely. She was like, I was like, oh, what about age appropriateness? She was like, I don't even know what that means. Cool. So excellent. It just
sounds like she would like the podcast.
Yeah.
It was just this like the term, like I learned the term double bind somewhere. And like, that's what kept coming up of like, not only is there this whole thing of like women being policed for clothing, but then it's also like you have age added to this of just like, so I can't like wear too short of things, too long, like all that shit. And then you're also like, and now people are like policing me of like, I'm dressing too young or too old or whatever.
Right, so you're triple.
Yeah, it's just like this big old mess.
It's rough. And especially for, like we've talked about this before in our sizing episode, when you're, when you get older, especially if you're a mom, I mean, or anyone really, as you get older, your body changes. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, that's what happens.
That's
what
the way
aging
human
does.
Biology works.
Yep. And that demographic as a whole pretty much gets forgotten unless you have a pile of money.
And even then, like, it's
even
hard.
Then, yeah.
It's hard to find.
You still have to go and hunt it out. You can afford to
not be worried by the alternatives to the
beige box.
Yeah.
But it does take a lot of work. Like I'm like, I'm with you. I'm like, 60, bring it. Like, but I know that I will be able to just, if I see something that I want to do or make or wear or whatever, I'll just make it. Like, I can just, I hopefully by the time I'm 60, I'll still have, you know, the set of skills and the dexterity and the space and the desire to want to make stuff. But I have stuff in my closet that this is my 60s look. I literally have like two or three like kimono style jacket things.
Yeah.
And I call them my Blanche Devereaux. They're my Blanches. I have like two or three of them and they're the best. Like, oh, I can't wait to wear the Blanche. Like, and my friend Olivia, she's got like one or two. Olivia, who was on the
previous
podcast.
Previous guest. Yes.
Yeah, that's the Blanche Devereaux. That's the dream. That's my dream outfit scenario.
It's like a caftan.
Yeah.
It's a real nice caftan.
Yeah, just a big breezy, kimono, bright color.
Maybe a fringe, maybe not. Sure.
Maybe a bobble on the hem.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I'm 60. I don't care.
Nobody. Nope. I think that's the thing I'm looking forward to is just being like, whatever.
I'm quickly approaching that. Although I do get caught up every once in a while and I'm like, damn it, I do care sometimes. I wish I
was society.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Oh well.
Oh. Well, that's fascinating. So now you finished it. Are you like done?
I am done. I graduated, convocated. I don't know.
Whatever you want to call it.
Back in May. Yeah.
Sure.
Walked the stage, did all that good stuff. Wore the ugly polyester gown, which I did not do in my undergrad because they're that big of hippies to the point that it was like, I like made myself a nice little like cocktail dress or something. One girl walked the stage in yoga pants and it was just like, whatever. that was my undergrad art school.
Oh, welcome to Vancouver. You're
I was like, and you didn't go to school out here?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And so, yeah, I like convocated in May and now I'm just like figuring it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to like, I would like to continue with this project and like branch it out in other ways.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is it something I could see it turning into like a book or
that
something
was
like that. Like that would be
so I amazing. One of the ways that I was like my supervisor and I were discussing like putting it together. We were like, oh, maybe, or I was really like attached to the idea of a book for a while. Not attached to it, but I was like, because I was like,
it's an idea.
If you don't like it, we'll get rid of it. I'm not married to it. You learn that fast in art school where it's like,
right.
Don't marry an idea because someone will shit on it or be like, this is hideous. Why are you doing this?
Stupid.
No. And then you go and cry in the bathroom.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like a true goddamn art student.
Yeah.
I think I only cried once the whole time we were in school.
I maybe cried twice.
I don't think I cried.
You don't think you cried at all?
You were on the verge, though, once.
There was, I remember there was times days. When I got close. There was, I don't think actual tears came out of my mouth, but there was times where I was had like, to leave.
Oh,
like, tears came out of your mouth?
Almost. The tears came out of my eyes. There was a couple times. Mostly mine was just like, again, maybe rage. Maybe I'm just realizing now I have like an anger problem.
Rage based tears.
Yeah, just
those are quite common with me where I'm just like,
I got those. Yeah,
like it just has to get out somehow. So you're like, it's just coming out my eyes.
Yeah, if I get angry, I cry.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And there was times where it was I'm angry at myself, but there's also a couple times where I was angry at other people.
Yeah,
so, I remember.
Fuck you. Get fucked. You fuck.
I remember a couple times where like. probably the three of us, but you and me especially, because there was a class that you
weren't in.
Yeah.
That first term, yeah.
Where, like, you and I were like, don't look at each other. Like, we cannot make eye contact, because if we make eye contact, like...
It's over.
It is over. Either one of us is going to burst into tears or is going to leave the room.
Flip a table or something. Yes, I don't know what's going to go on.
Like, we just have to, like... Not because of what you and I were doing, but what was going on in the room around us was like, oh, we got to get out of here right now.
I can't be party to Wonder Bar.
Wonder Bar. Oh, mine were always exhaustion-based tears.
Sure.
I was just like, I'm so tired.
You reached your limit.
Yeah.
A bunch of that.
Oh, man.
But you can't be, I think you can't be in a creative field, especially when you're learning.
Yeah.
And not, as you say, get somehow attached to an idea that,
well,
like,
that's the thing, right? Is when these creative fields, and it applies to so many things, and it also applies to, it does not apply to a bunch of things, where you get so invested.
Yeah.
Right?
The same can be true of, like, writing a paper or writing a poem or writing...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Getting like edits back on papers. I'm like, don't open the email. You have to open the email. Don't open
it. How much red is going to be on this paper?
How many notes?
Make sure you've had, like, a good night's sleep and you've eaten and that you're emotionally ready for this.
Yeah, maybe some chocolate nearby as you're reading it.
Like, a nice post-it note. Like, I just want to make sure that you're emotionally ready for this, like, to your professor. Like, have you had a good night's sleep? Did you have enough cup of coffee this morning? Did you have a good lunch?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Do we need to talk anything out before you run paper? Because I really need to be the best you before you do this.
So coming back to like this sounding like a book, after I like made a couple iterations of this project and I came across the theme of like sentimental or emotional objects that these women were pulling from their closets. And I was like, this would be amazing. And I could like do a book, and I could have like maybe a essay, and fuck, that's worn stories.
Yeah.
I was like, Emily Spivak already did it.
Dang it. Well, you have an interesting take on it, because there's advanced style, which just is like streetwear or whatever, street
very
style pictures.
Based, yeah.
And it's of complete outfits outside of their home, outside of whatever.
But if those are heavily curated as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then there's also things like the Coveteur for the longest time, or the Selby, right? Where he did pictures of people, or they would do pictures of people's closets and spaces and living spaces and things, but didn't necessarily, would just make pretty pictures of it. They wouldn't necessarily have so much of an in-depth interview of it. And they were not people over the age of, 40.
Yeah.
So you do have something unique going.
That's
right?
Nice to know of like,
For my knowledge.
Definitely.
Well, because I would like to extend, not necessarily the age, but just like wardrobe interviews in general into like my own podcast.
Totally.
Like,
who the fuck doesn't have one of those? Awesome.
So yeah.
Bring it on.
I would like work it in my head. I'm like, this. Yeah. I finally told like the whole project to one of my friends, and she's like, yeah, man, that sounds good. And I'm like, I just have to remind myself of like, just as long as you keep wanting to do this, just keep doing it, and it'll catch on eventually.
Absolutely. Just keep your head down. Keep the work.
Yeah.
Keep the work going.
An interesting demographic to look at as well. And we got to wrap this up. I just looked at the clock. We got to move on. But I think that generation that you're talking about specifically is such a unique generation in the world that we're moving
now
into right now.
Yeah.
I can't think of, going to be in. I know. Like, there is not another generation of older women that has lived through the same shit and seen so many drastic changes in fashion
many times over,
and then now
also
shopping
socially
for it
and how
you purchase and how you create your own closets now is so much different now than when they were our age or when they were 20 or building their closets and stuff initially. Like, and that I think is a unique time and place for right now for that generation, and within a handful of years or whatever, but that I don't think that'll ever come back in the same way, just with the advent of computers and technology and fast fashion and how it
global
all
global stuff and international availability consumed.
The beige boxes, like there weren't as many beige boxes, or there were the beige boxes that you wore that their grandparents wore, they made themselves and they maybe got the fabric from China, and it came from some crazy weaver, or it came from their neighbor down the street,
or it came from a feed sack during the Depression.
Yeah, exactly. So that I think you've definitely touched on something that's really unique and that can
and
that can
of really interest
something mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That makes me feel good.
Good. Well, I'm so glad I could sit and talk about this shit for like
yeah.
days and days.
Five more hours. So but we should take a little real quick yes. little break we'll little and then we'll come pause. Back and we'll obsess.
Sounds good.
All right. Hi.
Hi. We took a long of a break. We got distracted, but now I actually press record and we're back at it.
Yeah,
it
you happens. Guys didn't know how long of a break we had, but we went out for dinner. We had cocktails. We all talked about
so much stuff. And now we're back.
You guys, you should have been there.
We should have pressed record. Who should we start with obsessions?
Well, I know mine is kind of adjacent to your gut.
I was like going
to
say, Gabby and I is a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe overlap entirely.
I have been watching all of the Bob the Drag Queen stand-up on YouTube.
Yes.
It's just so good.
I did not know that was...
Oh, and does he do it as...
On YouTube.
Yes, does he do it...
As Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like what his show is. Like when he tours,
yes.
like, the show is like a stand-up show mixed with like lip syncs and like audience games.
Sure, and other so drag stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's a great combo. Fun.
Yeah, because like I'm real fucking tired of going to a drag show and seeing some half-assed lip sync and then going home.
Yeah, no.
You know, like I love seeing like someone putting their own personality into their show, and Bob is just so fucking
different.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So many great jokes. Just like he has this one, my favorite joke is one where he's like how good I look depends on how far away I am from you. So he like goes to like, he goes like upstage, like right to the back of the backdrop. And he's like, he does a little pose, like Lupita Nyong'o. He like walks forward a little bit and he's like Viola Davis. Walks a bit forward. Naomi Campbell. Walks a bit forward. Whoopi Goldberg. And gets right to the tip of the stage and he's like, Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes and Tu Wong Fu. She's still on that gig.
All I can think of is a Clueless and, oh, full on Monet. Oh,
yeah.
Although in reverse, I guess. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Up close, she's a big old mess.
Oh, God. Yeah, but Bob's releasing a stand-up special called Suspiciously Large Woman.
Oh. Oh, yeah. And in the season, they keep being like, I'm a 6'4" man. And I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
The scale is so off because, like...
Because all of those queens are so tall on that season. Like, he just says a joke about that, too. He's like, people think I'm small because next to Kim Chi, because people think Kim Chi is small because she's Asian.
Yeah.
But Kim Chi is, like, 6'3", and I'm just like, we look small next to each other, but in real life, like, I'm not to scale. And he just, like, kind of, like, goes, like, down the stage.
Plus, throw some heels on there. And
oh, yeah.
You're wearing 6-inch platforms.
Yeah, so he's, like, 6'5". Yeah.
Oh, man.
And he really loves to like pick on white people in his audience, and it's so good. He's like, you know what? So, I don't know if I have the right to be saying this joke, but it's just so fucking good. He's like, you know what, girl? Our ancestors met back in a couple years ago, but it didn't really go that well. So you can sit in the third row.
Oh,
so
boy.
Good.
I will be checking.
Yeah, just check it out. Just Google Bob the Drag Queen stand up, and it's completely worth it. It's like 15-minute sets usually. And
beautiful.
It's perfect.
So beautiful. Fun.
Giving me a good chuckle in the middle of my crazy work.
Yeah, when you need one
schedule exactly.
When you really need one.
Well, my obsession is completely separate from yours, so I'll let you guys.
Gotcha.
Sort of.
Well, we realized after we were sitting upstairs just shooting the shit before the show that we've both recently. Torn through season 8 of Drag Race
because
it just was available on Netflix, and somehow when Dave was out of town last weekend I was able to watch all of it, make my children sit through Drag Race.
Okay, it's nap time?
Yeah, there is nap time and after bed. I'm like, I did stay up real late couple nights just making sure I'm getting through. I'm like, next, are you still watching? Oh, yes, bitch, I am still watching.
I am. Why awake, keep going.
Yes. So yeah, and then that has turned into also a YouTube obsession of makeup videos.
Oh,
yes.
And Dave's like, are you gonna watch the whole 20 minutes? And I'm like, yeah, I gotta see the whole thing. Because not only are they doing awesome, amazing, like
crazy drag,
crazy makeup. Yeah. They're also super entertaining while they do it. Because they're talking and being funny and yada yada yada. So I've been watching. I picked up a bunch of.
So good.
And then
got and they're short and sweet too. Like
yeah.
They're
and
good.
Hilarious. Like I'm literally like laughing, and Dave's like, "What the fuck are you watching because it's like 1 a.m. and like I'm just like my shoulders are shaking in bed, shaking the whole bed, and I'm trying to hold it in because I know the baby's asleep and Dave's asleep. But Trixie Mattel's fucking hilarious.
I somewhere on the internet saw like screenshots of her doing her makeup in like a Talking Head interview, and it's like, I can't remember what it was, but like the final panel is like, yeah, and like I wasn't sleeping well and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, turns out, depression.
Yeah.
And it's just like this terrible diagnosis and like realization. But it's like her delivery and like her just like this visual of her doing her makeup. You're
yeah,
like,
just slathering
plot
it
twist,
on.
Depression.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Plot twist. Yeah. Depression. And you're like, what?
So she does a really good makeup tutorial with James St. James.
Oh, I haven't
she
come across
makes over
that
James
one.
St. James as like Trixie Mattel. It's nice. So good.
Who's James St. James?
He's like a party boy from the 90s. He's bald.
With Michael Alec, like the party monster
yeah.
era.
Yeah. You've seen
yes.
him.
Yeah.
You've seen
yes,
him.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's been on Top Model.
Yeah.
That's my frame of reference for pretty much everything. He's on Top Model. And then, but also my favorite on season 8 was Kimchi. Very big fan of Kimchi. He's 6'4", 200-some pounds, giant Korean man with a lisp, can't dance.
Can't walk in heels for the first half of the season.
Story,
yeah.
But like, pulls through.
So endearing and like, bitchy. Like, considering someone who's like, grew up overseas and in a different culture and like his parents are like, they don't know about Western, like they live in the States, but they don't watch Western TV and they don't like, they don't participate necessarily in white culture. They live in their own culture and things.
How did he get into drag?
Yeah.
Holy
and
shit.
And he knows references. He knows like jokes. Like he's so not, I'm coming off like an asshole, but like this guy's actually funny and he's Korean. That's not what I mean. Like he's so.
Like against all odds.
Against all yeah. odds. He is fucking delivering
well,
on all fronts.
Other queens.
Maybe not
when
the dancing
have, like,
one, but.
When they do reading. And, like, he's all the other queens know, like, what she's like. And then Rue's just like, what the fuck? And they're all like, oh, yeah, a girl like that quiet knows some shit.
Yeah.
Like, she's coming for you.
We can spin some yarns.
Yeah.
So then getting Kimchi has her own, like, YouTube show.
Mug. Yeah.
Makeup Girls. And it's him and Naomi Smalls.
Yes.
Who I also enjoy, but not as much. Kimchi's my girl.
A.K.A. Raven.
Yeah, Raven. Move Raven Jr. And it's just the two of them talking about makeup and stupid shit and just being dumb. And they're drag queens and they're friends and it's awesome. So literally like I lay in bed and I just turn my phone, turn on the volume real low, and just watch it.
So good.
For like an hour and a half. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sleep at 1:30 in the night. Who cares?
You don't use headphones?
No, because I'm in bed and like I don't know.
When
I guess
you're
I could.
Down.
Usually my headphones are like over there.
Oh man, I have a set that just lives on my.
I have one good pair at the moment, and it's by. It's not in the bedroom. I need to get on that. Yeah. But Gabby, you went through the same thing. You tore through some drag.
Oh
race.
Yeah, mine was. I had a couple of days off from work, so I went up to my mom's north of the city. And Netflix was like, hey, Drag Race is on here now. And I was like, what?
Don't get it. Don't
and so
twice.
I started it that night and I finished it the next night.
Yeah.
I am like not a mother of two children. So I was like, whatever.
I got nothing else to do.
This included like me going into town and seeing friends and stuff. But I was still like, lol of it. So yeah, I did the same thing and just like burned through it. And I am obsessed with, like, a year and a half late, I'm obsessed with Purse First.
Yes.
Purse First.
Come into the room, Purse First.
Everything is Purse First for me. Like, my Instagram story, Purse First. Like, literally with, like, my change purse.
Yeah.
When I went to Valley Village with a friend, yep, everything is just Purse First. Finding all the videos, watching Bob's video of Purse First, if like, singing
so
the song
good.
To myself, like, getting ready in the morning. And that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, that's the one that you send me in.
Purse First.
Purse First.
It's so good.
This is the first verse of Purse First.
it's fully like jumping off of like pop culture, like, oh, this could just be like a total money grab, but like it's a legit good song.
Yeah.
You're like cack, cack, cack,
cack boom.
Cack boom. You
it's
walk
like
into
the
room.
Whacking song.
Yeah, yes, like, yes, 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 yes,
yeah.
Like,
yes.
You're just voguing to yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, a great get ready song.
It's so good. And so, yeah, everything for me right now is Purse First. Yes. Gonna go do some vintage shopping in a couple of days with my sister at Bergeau's.
Oh, yeah.
Doing my big
get yourself Bergeau's. A nice glittery clutch.
Oh, gosh. Yes. So
there was a rack of sequins out there yesterday.
Jeez. Oh, shit.
So I'm not a big shopper, like clothing buyer. But like I went with my friend a couple days ago to Valley Village and I like bought myself a white leather, like beautiful white leather clutch. And I was like, first. Yes. Just like walking through Value Village.
Yes.
And that was like my one, like, yep, I'll spend the $15 on this secondhand purse.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's my obsession right now.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm into it. You are talking to the right people.
Excellent.
It is a known fact that a woman do carry an evening bag at dinner time.
I want to make myself. I'm always like when I look at stuff. I'm like, I'm assuming you guys have this where you like look at something. You're like, I could make that.
Can I figure this out?
Yeah. You just like look at something. And you're like, I could make that. And so I just like what I want now is just like a slouchy envelope bag. I'm like, I could make that. And it's like, do I want to make the purse? Like, purse be ugly, but it's like everything I don't like.
Yeah.
But I'm like
floral fringe,
like weird matte, like manky 70s.
Yeah.
Also, look into, if you haven't already, look into the fan theories of like purse first deciding who like made it onto the next rounds or who got eliminated because that exists.
Oh, who carried the purse into the room?
Interesting. Yep.
Oh. Yep.
I wasn't keeping track.
I like, just because I, again, obsessed with purse first, like went down this rabbit hole of the internet and like found fan theories about like purse first, like who walks into the room.
Drag queen Reddit, drag race Reddit is insane.
Oh, I cannot fuck with Reddit. Like rare puffers is it for me.
Oh man. Yes. So we're just feeding each other's obsessions with this now.
Yep.
This is great.
I'm just thinking about my dad.
The best
my dad
part of
no idea what we're talking about.
Google it.
Just Google it.
Go to. Does he have Google Netflix? Get him to watch a couple episodes of Drag Race.
Watch Drag Race. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Great
Very entertaining.
The way it was marketed to me from one of my friends was like, it has everything you want. Like, it's got some top model. It's got some Project Runway, and then it's drag queens. The end.
Yeah. It's like literally every show. Like, there's like So You Think You Can Dance, American Idol, like everything.
The Voice.
Acting. Like, there's an acting.
Not The Voice. What's the one, the fucking lip sync one?
Lip sync battle, which was
ripped off of Drag Queens.
Drag Queens.
It has all of the reality.
It has all of it.
The reality aspect.
Yes. Also listening to, like, the stories of these queens.
I was going
to
say, and the heartstrings get pulled, too, because all these, you know, they're all gay men doing fucking drag. They all have a very complicated story. To a certain extent. And
And then, like, the camaraderie where they're, like, reading each other day in and day out. But then it's, like,
they're still friends.
Like, Bianca and Adore, where it's, like, you got a hog body. Let me help you with that. And it's just, like,
helping each other out with things.
The family.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I should watch that season, too. I don't watch a lot. I don't do a lot of watching these days. Well,
you can pick and choose what you like. Maybe once summer ends, the weather gets shitty again.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That'll be it.
That might do it for you.
That'll be it. I suck at internet, so I don't know how to, like, do it legit.
Yeah.
And I also don't care. I'm like, if it's too much work to like download a thing or stream it,
I used to do that too. And I was like, I can't fucking attempt.
Can't be bothered.
VPN, and, huh?
Yeah.
What about you, Katie?
Well, mine's short and sweet. And I sent out an Instagram a couple of days ago about it. But I just finished this book that I powered through again. Called The Blind Assassin by Margaret Atwood.
Yes, I literally added it to my list.
Our Lord
is on my
Margaret
Kindle
Atwood.
Right now.
I read The Handmaid's Tale like right after Trump was elected. I was like, I feel like this is going to be important. I read The Handmaid's Tale. And I was like, fuck, she's the best. She's just so fucking great. She's just like a badass feminist.
Awesome lady.
Like, I just imagine her as like a perpetual cool old lady. Like, she's never been young to me. She's always had great, like, hindsight and perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And I read a bunch of her stuff in university and adjacent, like, not for university, but while I was in university.
Yeah, in your 20s and yeah.
Yeah. And this book, The Blind Assassin, my sister gave it to me when I was 18 when I first, like, left home to go traveling and I went to New Zealand for 6 months. And she, you know, recommended it highly and had read it before. And she's like, this is
I think you'll like
a good
it.
One.
Yeah.
You'll like this. And it was the only book that I brought back. Like, I read, I don't know how many books I read when I was there. But I was like, no, this one's coming back with me. It's so good. And it's like my book where I'm like, you know when you're like just going through the shelves and you're like, I don't know what to read next. And like, you know, you're like, this one looks something, good, but I don't feel like, I don't feel like a nonfiction. I don't feel like a fluffy. I just
don't want mystery. I don't want this. Yeah. I don't want that.
When I can't decide, I'm like, I'll just read this one again because I know it's going to be good. Yep. I know there's going to be parts of it that I forget that I'm reminded of later.
Love that.
Oh,
Valley of the Dolls was that for me for a long time.
Oh, really?
Time. Valley of the Dolls.
Valley of the Dolls has been like two pages like every 2 weeks for like the last year. For me.
I might have
I lent you, that copy a long time ago.
Oh, you still have it?
I still have like a third of the book to go.
Oh, shit. I would have taken it home with me tonight.
I'm torn. I've that's the book I've read the most in my life. I've probably read it at least 10 times.
Yeah, this one and...
Because it's super easy read, too. It's like soap opera fluff. Yeah. Like, it's not serious, but it's so good.
I feel like you guys are reading like all these classics that I'm like, I've just read Harry Potter a lot.
I love.
You are in the right room.
You don't have to ask us twice.
We're going to have to unplug these microphones to talk about Harry Potter because this will just go on all night.
Yeah.
Start a Harry Potter podcast on your own time.
Yeah.
Actually, all the Harry Potter podcasts kind of suck. Except for Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. That's the only one I really like.
I haven't listened to any of them.
There's Muggle Cast, there's Leaky Cast, there's all this shit, and they're just like, let's talk about this new toy that got released. Blah, blah. I'm like, I don't give a shit about that fucking
character
toy.
Development. Give me character development, yeah. Give me
history.
That's what, that's what I like about that Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, because they get really into the book itself and they talk about the characters and their progression and like...
So it's like English class.
Literally, they're trying to like see like, Harry's only in his second year of Hogwarts. He still hasn't seen magic a lot. He's seeing a lot of crazy shit. He's probably in a weird space. Maybe that's why he's so much of an asshole.
Getting into it.
Well, I might have to subscribe
Big segue. if you haven't listened to it already, there's a great podcast called Nancy that is just...
Yes, I've listened to a couple
episodes. WNYC. Yeah. They have an episode about Harry Potter and I think it's just called Dumbledore's Not Gay. And it was like an inflammatory episode where some people were like, no, and like flipped tables probably, whereas others were like, I was just like, I accept this reading.
I mean, there's nothing in the text that would suggest it.
Interesting.
That he's gay?
Yeah.
He is. People just said he was. And
well, J.K. Rowling was like, oh yes, and Dumbledore is gay, and everyone was like, great!
Because she got flack for not having a diverse
group of like,
people in the books.
Yeah.
There's also nothing to suggest that
he's not.
He's not. You guys, we got to stop this right now. We got it. Like, we are blind opening assassin. Up a can of worms.
Oh, boy.
Yes. The Blind Assassin.
Empty Blind Assassin.
Really good. I really want to read Alias Grace next because I feel like it's the next one on my list. And I'm embarrassed that I've never read Alias Grace, but it's next on my list. Anyway, go read it. Our Lord and Savior, Margaret Atwood. She's a fucking boss. She's the coolest old lady in the world.
Excellent.
Anyways, we should... We
wrapping
should stop
it up,
this.
Wrapping it up.
We should stop this nonsense.
Kack, boom.
Evan is...
We're all going to go press first out of the room.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's going to be a fight.
There's not enough room to do a death drop in here, don't you? Don't you even try.
Oh, there's enough maybe right there.
You got long limbs, though. I don't know.
No, I'd kick Katie in the face, probably.
But only two of us brought our purses, so...
I'm going to have to go out cell phone first.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
I don't think that counts. It doesn't rhyme.
No.
It
doesn't fit the criteria.
Oh, boy.
Oh, anyway.
Well, okay. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Send us an email.
Do all the things.
Fashion Eggs. We're Fashion Eggs everywhere.
FashionEggsPodcast.com. All that good stuff. I'm a bit behind on the website, so hopefully by the time this comes out, we'll
be... You know what? It's summer. We're having a summer.
But yeah, Instagram. I'm trying to get better. We're all trying to like get better on the Instagram.
Me too. I'm
too.
Trying to step up my game too. I was trying to keep thinking like, what can I put on here?
I have to take Instagram photos for work as well and just like send them to the... You know, the photo
the account, yeah.
That gets turned into Instagram photos and stories and stuff.
Just to give it fuel.
And then I'm like, ugh.
Pulling hair.
So much work. But we love you guys. It's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is like, oh, there's a lot of pictures.
It's work. Yeah, social media is a little bit of a chore sometimes. But Gabby, do you have anywhere online that people can... find you?
I am a terrible artist. I do not have my own website. But I do try and post like some what I'm working on onto my Instagram, visual person, visual site. You can follow me if you so choose at Debbie Trash. That's my handle, DEBBIE.
I didn't know you were Debbie Trash.
I'm Debbie Trash. I'm that creeper.
Like, I know Debbie Trent.
I will tell you the origin story later.
off air.
Yep. Yeah, that's me. So it's, as my like little spiel says, it's mostly like plants and photography and textiles and stuff. Also, my roommate's cats. Perfect. So if any of that sounds good to you, hit me up.
You know where to find it.
Yep.
We cannot thank you enough for taking time out of your holiday.
Oh my gosh, this is like, we're going to Vancouver. Oh, also, personal plug. If you are in Toronto tomorrow, in our current time, it'll already be existing, but the 14th is an opening for a group show I have work in at Gallery 44 at 401 Richmond in downtown Toronto. It's up until like the 25th, so go check out. They like put on great shows.
Awesome.
Some of my images from my MRP are in there. Ooh, so awesome. If you want to go see some of what I was working on, if you're in Toronto, hit that up. July 14th to 25th. Gallery 44.
Yeah. Oh, good. I was going to say, this doesn't come out tomorrow. So.
Oh, yeah. No. God, no.
Thank God it's still going to be. Yeah.
Okay, great. Cool. Yep. Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Love it.
Yeah. Is there anything else we need to?
No.
I don't think so.
We're excited about Evan's show. It's going to be great. We'll post pictures.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I'm going to find something red to wear.
Yep.
It's not going to be the headache I imagined.
No, it's going to happen.
It's going to be fine.
It's going to happen.
I'll find the thing.
You'll be fine.
Thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
This was so much fun. You guys know that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Don't you know it?
Bye.
Hey.